97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
All right, well, this is shaping up to be a very interesting day. I will say good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I hope at the very least you're outside or you got outside for a while because it is another beautiful day in January in St. Louis. How about that? We love it, right? Things are kind of shaky up in Minneapolis right now. Fred, this story broke a couple hours ago. There was a woman who was, and I want to play some audio that Tim Walz just said, this guy, up in Minneapolis. But there was chaos that had already erupted in a neighborhood in Minneapolis because ICE had moved in for an operation. I don't think, Fred, that the operation has been, you know, been given very many specifics or anything like that. We just know that there were protesters that were there. And then at one point, and there's video that's emerged now of several different angles of this, there is an SUV that's parked in the middle of the street. It's a snowy street. An officer approaches the vehicle. An ICE officer tries to open the handle and get the woman out of the car. She accelerates forward. There's another officer in front of that vehicle, and that officer is, if you look at the video, you can make a case that his life might be in jeopardy. He opens fire, shoots her three times. She's dead. Now, the rhetoric that has come out of Minneapolis today is really unbelievable. From Jacob Fry, who says, get the F out of Minneapolis, to Tim Walz, and I'm going to play you some of that audio right now. But this is one of those situations where it's bubbling up. And, you know, I said this on Twitter a few minutes ago, what's the over-under on fires in Minneapolis tonight? I don't want to say that jokingly, but I'm telling you, things are going to get out of control. Listen to what Walz said. Now, look, here's what I will tell you. And Fred, you know this. We've been discussing this for the last few hours. When I first saw the video of this, I thought, oh, that looks like a justifiable shooting. It was a distant video. You could see that the officer had to get out of the way of the vehicle, right? Well, then I saw a different angle. And that angle kind of changed my mind a little bit and said, you know what, maybe that's not a justifiable shooting. Then I saw that angle slowed down into slow motion. And that gave me a different perspective. I think the point that I'm making is, and I did this with Mike Brown, you know, how about we wait for some facts to come in? Because the video is very narrowly focused on the acceleration of the vehicle and then the shots being fired. We don't know exactly what happened even before that, right? But listen to this guy. This Tim Walz guy, I can't find my glasses, Fred. I think somebody would have to grab a pair from me. Do I have them? Oh, here they are. They're hanging on my hoodie. I knew they had to be somewhere. Hi, Sue.
Well, they were
you?
Close.
They were, I knew. Yeah. So, Walz, you put that one in there, right, yeah. Ethan? Let's see here if I can find it because there's a lot of audio in here. Here it is. So he just says this a few minutes ago. The thing about this that's interesting is they act like federal ICE agents are just a Gestapo, that they have no role right. in society whatsoever after millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions, and count to 12 or to 20, you name the millions, crossed the border illegally. And many of them landed in Minneapolis, by the way. So this guy, you know, he doesn't resign. He says, I'm not running again because politically he's a wreck right now. But listen to the rhetoric coming out of Minneapolis this afternoon.
This happened a couple of hours ago, and we're already pitting American against American. All of you saw a video in your eyes. We have a chaotic situation caused by the largest deployment in American history of federal agents into a community with no communication to locals. We had a chaotic situation where an individual is in their car, shot and killed. And so, look, I want to be very cautious here.
Okay, well, Hoyan, before he gets cautious, he makes it seem like there's a woman that's just sitting in her SUV and ICE agents swing by and they just pop her in the head because she's not doing anything wrong.
That's exactly what he said.
That's what he said, right? And then he says, look, this happened 2 hours ago. Let's be responsible. He's essentially calling ICE jackbooted thugs. He has been for months, by the way. That's nothing new. So I can't even believe, I guess I can, because they feel like this is going to, and he's going to accuse you, you're going to hear him accuse Trump of playing politics, and I'll tell you what Trump said here in a second, but Walz is unbelievable, this guy.
Donald Trump will make this about me. He will make this about politics. This is about public safety, and this is about normalcy. To Americans who are watching this, if you're in Portland or you're in LA or you're in Chicago or you're wherever they're coming next.
Okay. Wherever they're coming next. Don't you love that he says Portland first? That should stick out right there like a sore thumb.
Stand with us. Stand with us against this. This was so preventable, so unnecessary.
I agree, Governor. If you and Jacob Fry and Chuck Schumer and Dick Durbin and AOC and Bernie Sanders and the rest of your party would shut the hell up about thwarting the operations of federal law enforcement, maybe this wouldn't have happened.
And I don't know. I hope. Maybe we're at their McCarthy moment. Do you have no decency? Do you have no decency? We have someone dead in their car for no reason whatsoever. And I don't want to be right about this, but I said if they do this, they're going to create a chaotic situation where someone innocent's going to get killed. And they did it. And now we hear more political rhetoric. Enough. Enough is enough.
Okay, he's talking about enough political rhetoric? Are you kidding me? And then you have Jacob Fry, who is the Minneapolis mayor who speaks more in Somalian than he does in English.
What we do know is that a 37-year-old woman is dead and that she was shot by ICE. We've dreaded this moment since the early stages of this ICE presence in Minneapolis. Not only is this a concern that we've had internally, we've been talking about it. They are not here to cause safety in this city. What they are doing is not to provide safety in America. What they are doing is causing chaos and distrust. They're ripping families apart. They're sowing chaos on our streets.
Yeah, that's the same narrative that we had for months, and the American people aren't really buying into that. But listen, he gets pretty inflamed here with the F-bomb, etc.
To ICE, get the f*** out of Minneapolis. We do not want you here. Your stated reason for being in this city is to create some kind of safety, and you are doing exactly the opposite. People are being hurt. Families are being ripped apart. Long-term Minneapolis residents that have contributed so greatly to our city, to our culture, to our economy are being terrorized, and now somebody is dead. That's on you.
Well, no, it's not. I think it's on you, Mayor Fry and Tim Walz, because you're the ones that have told people in your community to ignore federal law enforcement, right?
Yep.
So who's being reckless here? And it's a terrible situation because I cannot sit here and tell you this is 100% justifiable shooting. I don't have all the facts. I think, as I admitted here a couple of minutes ago, I've kind of vacillated a little bit back and forth, right? You can certainly make a case. I can see how someone can make a case seeing the video that it looks like it was not justified because she's in her car and it looks like he's shooting and he's not in danger. Well, that's just from one angle. From another angle, it looks like
right.
He was hit. Okay, so I don't know if he was hit or not. Then you have President Trump. Okay, now the difficulty is that there's statements from DHS right now and from President Trump that I just don't feel are accurate. I think that you could have done a better job here just saying, this is a tragic situation. We had ICE that was trying to conduct an operation. This should have never happened, blah, blah, blah. I have no idea. But what's happening is you have people, and even if you, I saw someone tweet about this earlier. Even if you say that the driver was going at the ICE officer, which I think you can make a case for that if you see the video, you can also make a case for the fact that the officer might have been out of the way by the time the driver passed. And you have Chrissy Noem claiming that the woman was attacking them. I don't see that in the video. I don't see any attack. Now, here's what President Trump said, because he kind of goes down that path as well. He said, I've just viewed, this is a Truth Social post from a few minutes ago. I've just viewed the clip of the event which took place in Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's a horrible thing to watch. The woman screaming was obviously a professional agitator. A woman driving the car was disorderly. If you hear the audio of the actual shooting itself, you'll hear someone in the background saying, what did you just do? And I think it's the person taking the video, right? So he says the woman driving the car was disorderly, obstructing and resisting, who then violently, willfully, and viciously ran over the ICE officer, who seems to have shot her in self-defense. I don't think there was any running over of the ICE officer. Okay, I'm just going to clarify that. Based on the clip, it's hard to believe he's alive. but he's recovering in the hospital. The situation is being studied in its entirety, but the reason these incidents are happening is because the radical left is threatening, assaulting, and targeting our law enforcement officers. Yeah, that is exactly right, and ICE agents on a daily basis. Now, Sue, you and I both went through this FBI simulator at different periods in the last 10 years, and I took this... I can't remember if you took the same course that I did or if it was some different opportunity, but you had an opportunity to do it, right?
Yeah, and you do the shooting with the fake, with the guns
right.
and everything.
So what I did, and it might have been similar, is you're up against a screen,
yes.
and they run you through a variety of scenarios,
yes.
mass shooting scenarios, different things that might have happened. An officer, for example, is approaching a door, knocks on the door, looking maybe for a bad guy. Kid comes to the,
yep.
you know, to the door. Maybe the kid's, is the kid a good guy or bad guy?
You don't know.
The kid pulls a gun, right?
Yep.
That's one of the scenarios. Not a little kid, but like a, you know, 15,
like a
16
teenager.
Year old. Right. So what that does for you is, and in the aftermath of Mike Brown, there were a couple of television stations, including one, I think, in Phoenix, who ran through some exercises like this with reporters. But what Sue and I learned, I think you would agree with this, is that you have to make a snap decision.
Yes.
And if you look at this, you can see the tires spinning on this car. There was no doubt that there was acceleration, right?
Right.
And you can't clearly, from the videos that I've seen exactly where the vehicle is in proportion to the officer who was in the most danger,
right?
Right? I haven't yet to see an angle that is maybe from behind him that could offer more perspective. My guess is that might be out there. You know, there's ring cameras and stuff
yeah.
like that. So now there's a joint operation between the feds and local law enforcement, but I think what you're going to have this afternoon, Bill, is bracing for riots.
Yeah.
Because the way that they've inflamed this situation is getting out of control. This is all going to be about politics. You know exactly. I was telling Fred this earlier. Some of the things that I heard Whoopi Goldberg say on The View today, because I watched some clips, were unbelievably stupid, which is pretty consistent. But I can't even imagine how unhinged that they will be tomorrow morning.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
people are going to have to make a call on this. And you're going to see the videos. And everyone's going to have their view probably through their lens. If you think ICE is jackbooted thugs, you're going to see a murder here, right?
Yeah.
If you think the feds are actually trying to do something in these communities, remove illegal criminals, which I think is the main stated principle here, and if you also think that there are protesters that are consistently and constantly interfering with
yes.
federal law enforcement. So that's unacceptable. You have protesters throwing rocks at cars and stuff like that this morning. Now, they hit the protesters with pepper spray, and it was chaos. But I don't think that things will go very well for Minneapolis. And I hope I'm wrong about that. But it doesn't look very good at this point because we have images that are coming in where, you know, these crowds in the streets. And look, let's face it, we're only a couple hours from sunset, right? And we know when the sun sets, things get worse. Who was the woman? We don't know much about her.
There is nothing to indicate that this woman was the target of any law enforcement investigation or activity. This woman was in her car, and it appears then blocking the street because of the presence of federal law enforcement.
So just even take that, okay? Think through that for a second. I'm not saying that she deserved to be shot and killed, but you have someone who is parked in the middle of a street when federal agents are conducting an operation. And you think that's going to go well for you. At the very least, you're going to get arrested, right? That's why they were trying to open the car, get her out of the car. They were going to arrest her. Well, she decided to accelerate. Here's Paul Morrow's take on what he saw.
I got
to
tell you, from what I see, ICE gives them a lot of rope because they let them stand in front of the car. They sprayed them. They try to move them. So, you know, that kind of stuff works, I guess, until it doesn't. But we really don't, as I said at the top, this is going to be a very fact-specific investigation.
And on Fry,
he's pandering, he's immature, he's in over his head, and that was an entirely unprofessional performance by a mayor. That is not the way to behave, not the way to comport yourself in a situation that remains murky. This is a point where you want to come out and be what Giuliani did, let's say, after 9/11. Mm-hmm. Where your presence serves to calm everybody down, to have people feel like the adults are in charge.
Well, that's exactly the opposite of what's happening up in Minneapolis. We'll take a break. We got a lot to cover. We have Congressman Bob Onder coming up, Bill King from down in Houston, who is a former businessman and a lawyer, and we've had him on as a regular guest before. I have him scheduled to talk about Maduro, but I'm sure he's going to have some thoughts on Minneapolis. Jane will weigh in this afternoon as well, because we have the second gig for our police chief, who's going to make $100,000 at UMSL as a consultant. So we'll talk about that. Our friend Alex Rich is by for a visit visit in the next hour. We also have Phil Holloway from Fox set up to talk about the shooting in Minneapolis. Plus, of course, in the 5 o'clock hour. Oh, two things. Audio cut of the day. George Rosenthal was so amazing from CES last night in Las Vegas. It's round two tonight. Yeah, and I'm already behind schedule. Let's welcome in Congressman Bob Andre to talk about a variety of issues. Happy New Year, Bob. How are you?
Great. Happy New Year, Mark.
You are in Washington, right? You're not in the district right now.
That's right. We came back on Monday. On Tuesday, we went to the Trump Kennedy Center and heard President Trump talk to us about what's ahead for 2026.
Yeah. So what did you think of that? I watched quite a bit of it. He was doing, you know, he likes to call it weaving, and he was weaving quite a bit. And I think my favorite part, this ended up being my audio cut of the day when he was talking about Melania not liking his dancing. But obviously the president was also trying to send a message to Republicans about the importance of the midterms and what needs to be done in this coming year legislatively.
Well, that's for sure. Yeah, it's not lost on us that it's extremely important that we maintain the Republican majority in the U.S. House in the midterms. Otherwise, and I think the president's right about this, I serve on the Judiciary Committee. I think I'll be listening to Jasmine Crockett and Jamie Raskin droning on about how Trump needs to be impeached. So, yes, the American people elected President Trump for a four-year term, and we fully intend for him to have a four-year term.
Well, there's a lot of stuff going on in the news cycle right now, so let me get your thoughts on a couple of things. And I don't know, have you had a chance to monitor what's going on in Minneapolis or see the video of this shooting today yet, Congressman?
Oh, I did not see today. I'm monitoring what's going on in Minnesota with the fraud, but no, I did not see anything about the shooting.
Well, that's going to be a big deal. You'll see what happened. There was an ICE agent. They were trying to conduct an operation. There was a woman that refused, you know, orders to get out of her car, and she accelerated. And, you know, depending on your view of the situation, she was either trying to hit the officer, he responded with gunfire, and she was killed. So the concern there is, you know, amongst all of this other stuff that's going on in Minneapolis with the fraud, with the Somali community, that unfortunately the way that Jacob Frey, the mayor of Minneapolis, and Tim Walz, the goofball governor, have inflamed this situation, it would not surprise me at all if buildings burned in Minneapolis tonight, unfortunately, Bob, like they did here in Ferguson.
Yeah, no, this is really sad. I mean, to see the anti-law enforcement, you know, sentiment being fomented by far too many, not all, but far too many Democrats, this default position that somehow ICE agents, that Border Patrol agents are jackbooted thugs and they need to be resisted at every turn. This kind of rhetoric has consequences. And, you know, what makes people think they can assault police officers? Look, I said this about, you know, Michael Brown in Ferguson back in 2015. What makes people think that they can assault police officers and things are going to go well for them? But no, I haven't seen any details on that. But I wish the Democrats for once would turn down the rhetoric.
Yeah, they're not. Yeah, that's the problem.
Not doing it.
When you hear this the rest of the afternoon and evening, you'll find that they are inflaming the rhetoric. And Jacob Frey in particular is saying, you know, ICE agents, get the F out, was one of the quotes from earlier today. On the Nicolas Maduro capture, your thoughts on that? That caught a lot of people maybe off guard on Saturday morning. The president even joked a little bit. Maybe it was today when Carolyn said during the briefing, we kept you kind of busy during the break, didn't we?
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, yes. I mean, it caught a lot of us by surprise. Now, President Trump gave Nicolas Maduro chances to back down from his, you know, narco trafficking, from his close alliance with some of the worst actors in the world, the Chinese, the Russians, the Iranians, and even Hezbollah. But no, the way it turned out, an invasion to taking to custody an indicted narco trafficker. I did not see that coming, but I think we are a safer hemisphere because of it.
So, what are your thoughts on, you know, because this is very complicated in many different ways, geopolitically and otherwise, but on the oil issue and the tanker is being seized right now. You know, obviously, the folks who have TDS and the folks who don't like President Trump are trying to make this all about oil at this point. I think there are very good reasons to secure the Western Hemisphere in this way. And let's face it, most of the world is celebrating the removal of this guy. Most importantly, the people who live in Venezuela and those here in this country who had to flee the country. But then when you start to focus on the oil, the narrative becomes, oh, it's all about the oil, just like the Middle East.
Right, right. Well, of course, you know, there are many sources of oil in the country, including in the world, including the United States, other than Venezuela. So certainly the fact that this, what had become under Nicolas Maduro a narco-trafficking state, allied with China, allied with Iran, allied with Russia, the fact that that country also has more reserves of oil than any other nation in the world, that's significant. That's kind of a big deal. The Iranians putting drones that with a 2,000 kilometer range that could reach southern Florida in Venezuela, that's a concern too. Russian
so.
And Cuban
yeah.
military. Yeah, you know, just a little thing, you know. Russian and Cuban military advisors in Venezuela are of concern, you know, and the fact that China already controls 91% of the very strategically important rare earth minerals in the world, and then being in our hemisphere trying to control those being produced by Venezuela, that's of concern. So there were a lot of reasons. At the end of the day, I don't know that it was any one reason, but there's no question that Maduro was facilitating the biggest narco trafficking operation in the world, and really needed to be held accountable.
Yeah, absolutely.
In fact,
he's getting due process.
Maduro,
he's getting his due process, right?
He's getting his day in court. You know, Marco. I think a lot of people forget that he was indicted in the year 2000, and there was a $25 million reward for the capture of Nicolas Maduro. That was doubled to $50 million under Joe Biden. A year ago, Chuck Schumer was criticizing President Trump for not doing anything about Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela. Well, Donald Trump did something, and now Chuck Schumer said, whatever Trump does is bad. So I'm concerned about what comes next. We had an extensive briefing by the Secretary of State and others on that subject today. But I think Maduro being gone is definitely a positive.
What is there anything you can share from that meeting with the Secretary of State as far as what does happen next? Because that's obviously an important question.
Yeah. The Secretary of State, spoke of first of all stabilization, and then moving on to reconciliation and restoration, with ultimately the goal being free and fair elections, transition to power. But the feeling is that this is not it's not an Iraq type situation where we're dealing with a lot of guerrilla groups and so forth. We are dealing with a nation state over which we have a tremendous amount of leverage because of our control, for instance, over these oil shipments. I do not trust the vice president of Venezuela, Ms. Rodriguez, any farther than I can throw her. But at this point, the administration feels that we have enough leverage over her and over that regime that we can make sure the right things, happen moving forward. And first and foremost, ending the prosecution of political enemies, but also, beginning to restore something approaching a normal economy and a functioning democracy in that country.
Congressman Bob Onder, always great to have you on. One final question, just briefly. How are we going to avoid another government shutdown here in a few weeks? Any thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, so we will very likely in the next couple of days vote on a on three more budget bills. There are 12 budget bills. So far we've passed three as part of the reopening of the government after the Schumer shutdown. We will be voting on, and I believe passing, three more this week. The Appropriations Committees in the House have actually passed all 12. But I do have considerable fear, Mark, that the Democrats feel that that shutdowns give them leverage and somehow opposing Republicans and President Trump are somehow good for them politically. I hope saner heads prevail in the Democrat caucus. But
don't count on it. Don't count on it. That would be my prediction. Yeah. Well, Bob, again, Happy New Year. Thanks for jumping on here this afternoon, and we'll talk soon. Thank you very much.
Well, I went a little too long with Congressman Onder, so I'm shifting some things around here. We do have Jane Duker coming up in a few minutes. I want to talk to her about the new gig for St. Louis City Police Chief Robert Tracy. He's picking up, and we kind of knew this was coming and telegraphed it, but because the enhancement to his salary that was in place for the first couple of years of the contract was not going to be in place, he needed another $100,000, or I guess he was going to leave St. Louis. And it came from, now I want to be careful here, because it might not be coming from taxpayers. If you look at the UMSL news release, it might be donations, which would make it, I think, a little easier to stomach. Look, I think it's a perfectly legitimate reason you got someone with law enforcement to be hired as a professor or consultant at a university. I have no issue with that. The issue I have is that's a full-time job in and of itself.
Correct.
You're supposed to be the police chief of a major city in America. And I don't think another consulting gig on the side is something that you should really be interested in. Look, I could sue, you know this. You wouldn't have to be skilled in any way, shape, or form in accounting or numbers or anything. I'm pretty sure that we could take a look at some people over there at City Hall and say, can we figure out a way to pay the chief of police $100,000 more and cut these positions from people who aren't doing anything?
Probably.
How about Sarah Russell, for example? Oh, that's right. We already fired her ass. Maybe someone else in her department. So I don't mind. And by the way, if it takes $300,000 in a city like this to get a good police chief, well, that's what it takes, right? But this whole side gig thing not sitting well with me right now. But we'll get Jane's position. All right, this is really heating up in Minneapolis, because if you're just joining us, there's chaos that has erupted after an ICE-involved shooting. There was a woman who was blocking the street. She was literally parked in the middle of the street. Sue, one thing that's interesting, I guess somebody picked up on the fact that the SUV involved had Missouri license plates,
yes,
right? So we'll probably hear more about that. Depending on the video that you look at, it might look like a justifiable shooting by ICE. It might not look like it. I think we don't have enough information at this point, but we're going to have a bunch of people weigh in this afternoon, including Phil Holloway. Now, related to that, I think this is interesting. There's a guy that's actually been on Fox here this afternoon, Nick Sorter, who's one of these independent journalists, has a big following on the X, formerly Twitter. Well, remember when we were talking about Hilton Hotels the other day and how the hotel in Minneapolis was telling ICE agents and DHS workers that they were not welcome to stay at that hotel because they worked with ICE? Hey, think about that. That's all being framed around everything that's going on right now in Minneapolis. They didn't want ICE there. They were trying to fight them. You have a mayor that's talking about them being jackbooted thugs. You got a governor that's doing the same thing. And they're saying this is what they were worried about the whole time. No, this is what we were worried about the whole time. When you send people out there to protest the actions of federal agents, what do you think is going to happen? But let me circle on back to Hilton, because Hilton, the company, decided that it didn't want any part of that franchise in Minneapolis because they didn't want the Bud Light treatment. But Nick Sorter, this is what's interesting, he goes in hours after Hilton says, no, no, we've cut ties, we're not associated. And this is on Monday night. He tries to get a room.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Good. Do you have any rooms for tonight?
We should, yeah.
Okay. Like, how many? Can we get, like, 10?
10?
Yeah, I know that might be.
The clerk is looking it up on the computer.
No.
No? What's
first
the name?
It would be just Nick. I'll just put it under my personal... I don't know if you can use a government rate or not, but...
Let's see. It depends, because there's a lot of stuff going on right now.
You understand what the question was? Can you use the government rate? That's what he asked. And then the clerk says, well, there's a lot of stuff going on, and this is what he says after that.
is it, what agency is it for? Using the government
rating. It'd be Department of Homeland Security.
So we're not accepting people from immigration, ICE agents, DHS into our property. It's just the management ownership.
Okay, yeah. I thought that changed today. Was that?
I just talked to my the owner of the building, and he didn't say there has been any changes. So
really? Okay.
Yeah, so Hilton had put out a statement saying, you know, we don't approve of this. We're disassociating. But the owner of the hotel clearly didn't make any changes.
Yeah, okay. it's just policy, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's not your fault. Totally, yeah. Totally get that. So they actually said that was like, I mean, honestly, this is the most convenient location. So
right.
So they told you no, that there's no...
Yeah, no immigration.
Well, DHS isn't all...
Yeah.
Immigration. Okay, so even with the...
Yeah, keep that in mind, too, right?
Yeah.
We got terrorist threats that we've thwarted.
Yeah.
We had a big one before Christmas. So DHS is not just ICE. And, you know, that's a good point. But again, it's not the clerk's fault, right?
They said earlier, they mentioned that there was a statement that they put out, you know, saying that they accept everybody and...
I haven't been informed. I could call my owner right now if you want,
yeah,
and ask him what's...
That'd probably be good. Just trying to figure it out. So, because it said... Somebody said, I didn't know it was this location, but Everpeak Hospitality, right?
I'm new here.
So you kind of feel sorry for the kid because he's just doing what he's told by the guy who owns the hotel. But that is unbelievable. Try to think of the, you know, flip side of the analogy in some way for that. If you had Republicans that were trying to keep Democrats out of a hotel.
Are you kidding me?
I know, right? And they're just discriminating based on which government department they worked at. Let's say that, can't use RFK Jr. because he came out today and did all these nutrition guidelines, which was pretty cool. But let's say they, you know, you have someone in a position in a Democrat administration, a Republican conservative-owned hotel says, no, we don't want you staying here. There would be a little backlash, I would say.
Nuts.
Now, the private hotel, I guess, if they want to discriminate that way, but there's consequences for that. And the other thing that was reported is that you could still, now maybe this is something that's just set up because it's set up anyway, originally this way, but if you went into that hotel yesterday, for example, this is what Nick said with Laura Ingraham, and you tried to book a room, they were still asking you for your Hilton Rewards number. So does that tell you that they've disassociated themselves with Hilton or not? It might just be part of the protocol. I have no idea. Jane's coming up next. We're going to talk about the chief of police, Robert Tracy, and his new side gig. I think this week is going by pretty quickly, Sue. Would you weigh in on that opinion?
I would agree.
Okay, because it's already Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
I like that.
It's pretty good.
We'll have a roundtable on Friday, and we'll have some news to share. That's all I'll say at this point as we start the roundtable on Friday. I would say it's significant. You may want to tune in. You'd want to tune in anyway. Jane will be on the panel, Steve Butts, and Greg Keller, who always brings not only his hair into the room, but his strong opinion. Speaking of Jane, she's on with me right now because I want to get her thoughts on Robert Tracy, the chief of police, who's got a new gig at UMSL. Hi, Jane. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, guys. I've missed you.
I know. We've missed you, too. We can't wait to get together here for Friday's roundtable. Not that there's going to be a lack of stuff to talk about. Look, on the Tracy stuff, Jacob Kern was nice enough to share his story with me this morning from the Business Journal, because when the story broke yesterday that he was going to go to UMSL, the numbers weren't out there and they were making us do freedom of information requests at UMSL, which is ridiculous. But I guess it came out that the deal is for $100,000 a year and runs through December 31st, 2028. Now, Jane, explain to the audience, because a lot of people don't know what happened here, how the chief was hired in the first place and how that extra $100,000 was kind of put into the pot to give him the gig in the first place, right?
Yes. And that was then. It was provided by the Police Foundation, which is a nonprofit that raises money to help, you know, the police departments of St. Louis City and County with, you know, oftentimes with equipment, things like that. But they decided that after the national search that they would offer money to make it more competitive so that they could get a chief.
Right. So that expired, and then that $100,000 goes away. So then he's essentially taking a $100,000 pay cut, which he doesn't want to do. So to stay here, and we were talking about this in December, we knew something was bubbling. They announced that Umsl is going to put him in as a consulting role. And here's what I said earlier. If you look at this, I think it's smart to hire someone with experience at a university to teach classes and stuff like that. The issue I have is he's still the police chief of the city of St. Louis, and that should be his primary job.
Well, and I think I do think that's the challenge here. One, I think there's going to be two challenges. One challenge is going to be at some point somebody's going to say you have to tell us who's paying this, because I mean the university is agreeing that they're getting money for this. So
Taxpayer money, because here's what Jacob Story says: the deal is for $100,000. It added that the funds are contingent on availability from external gifts or grants, but didn't specify a source.
Correct. And I think people are going to want to know who's paying it. And so I do think that issue will remain outstanding, at least before you knew the police foundation was paying for it. So I think people are going to rightfully ask who's paying this guy's salary.
Justifiable. We should know that. But if he's not the chief of police and he's retired and Umsl wants to hire him for a, I don't care about that.
Absolutely.
Right? Right.
Nobody cares about that. And, but the bottom line is, look, again, this region has to decide whether they want their important public servants to have other jobs or not. Because, frankly, there's nothing in the law that prevents this. And so it's a policy decision whether people want to say, in the voters of St. Louis County resoundingly said, we want our county executive to be full time, and he just refuses to do it. But at least the people have spoken. I think, people are going to talk about the 32 hours a week?
Yeah. So the contract limits him to 32 hours a week. But if he's supposed to be working 40, and look, the chief of police is not a 40-hour-a-week job, right? That's a 50, 60-hour-a-week job.
It shouldn't be.
Right, exactly.
At least.
So, again,
it's 24-7.
Yes, it is. So I don't know, and you're not getting good answers, of course, from the flack over there at the police department. The other question is, and this is the one that really never gets answered, is this guy that good that we want to keep him as police chief anyway? I mean, I guess that deal has been done, but it's not like he's the only guy that can run the police in the city of St. Louis. There's other qualified people.
And the other thing I'm trying to remember, and I'd have to look back, but I mean, since when do police chiefs get contracts?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't remember police chiefs having contracts before this guy. Like, why do you get a contract? I mean, there's a statute out there that says, what needs to be required before you can get rid of a chief. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know why there's a contract.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Why it has to be locked down. And does that mean that if they decide they want to get rid of him in a year, do they have to pay off the contract like you do a football coach?
That's a really good question.
I don't know.
I never thought of that before. So that's because and I have to check with Jeff Rainford on that, but you're saying the previous chiefs never had contracts like this.
I don't remember that.
Okay.
I really don't. And I guess you don't need a contract if you're not, looking to do a unique arrangement. I don't know. I mean, I would be curious as to why contracts are the way to go.
I'm reading down here in the story to see if there's anything that indicates that, but that is a fascinating aspect of that. All right, well, we're going to have more to say on that, and we'll talk about it on Friday, but I do find it interesting, and obviously we knew that it was going to happen or something was going to happen like this. It was ridiculous for Umsl to not give the salary yesterday, and they were making reporters, jump through hoops just to get that. Hey, on a political note, there was a tweet that went out from Andy Banker from Fox. I retweeted this, that Jake Zimmerman, who is the St. Louis County assessor, is going to make an announcement tomorrow. He has been rumored to possibly get in the race for St. Louis County executive. What are you hearing? Is he going to get in or stay out? I think it would be best if the ginger stays out, but your thoughts on this, Jane?
I mean, I love Jake. I mean, I actually hired him to work for me when I worked in the governor's office. I think he's really smart. But, I mean, I just think Brian's momentum. I mean, he's
talking about Senator Brian Williams, who's kind of the favorite now, maybe.
Yeah, because he got, he got fire. He got police. He's getting, labor. He's getting all the groups, the business community, I guess put it this way. I don't know really anybody who is not supporting Brian Williams. So it you know, I think it's a tough road. I mean, Jake ran for county executive the last time he ran. He came in third in the Democratic primary.
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think his fortunes got better. I don't think people are happier with their tax bills. I think it's difficult to be the tax man. I really do, because who's going to say, you know, oh, you're doing a great job, you know.
Well, why would you have to make a big announcement that you're not going to run? Why can't you say, no, I'm not running, though? That's what seems a little weird.
But it also seems weird, though, that would you make an announcement, I'm going to announce that I'm going to announce?
No, you would just announce.
That's weird, too.
It all gets confusing.
You would just announce.
That's right.
It does. Politics is crazy.
It is crazy. Hey, have you seen, all right, so you represent the cops. You're a Democrat. There seems to be two different views of what happened in Minneapolis. Have you seen the video or any videos of the shooting up there?
I haven't.
Okay,
and
all right.
Is it bad?
Well, I mean, I don't know, Jane. What's interesting here is that, you know, from a couple hours ago, my view was this is not a justifiable shooting. I saw something from a different angle, and I changed my mind. Then I saw something from a slow-motion angle, and I thought, well, there's still some questions. I can't definitively say, because I don't think we have enough information, even with the videos that are out there. What I do know is Minneapolis is on edge. It would not surprise me if there's riots and fires there tonight, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, I think that is, for me, the biggest worry is it, what this is going to cause. And now, I mean, didn't you have the mayor come out and, you know, say, get out of my city, and it's all escalating, and I mean...
All right, here's what he said.
To ICE, get the f*** out of Minneapolis. We do not want you here. Your stated reason for being in this city is to create some kind of safety, and you are doing exactly the opposite.
Yeah, he was fired up, but if you look at the video, it's going to be studied and restudied, and you're going to see different angles. And depending on your political position, unfortunately, that's how people are going to come in on this one, I think.
Well, and that's a shame, because that's sort of, you know, as we know, that happened with, you know, police involved shootings, Michael Brown, that Galleria shooting. I mean, it's sad that it comes to that you can't just look at it. And, you know, the bottom line is if it's a close call, the tie goes to law enforcement.
Yeah, I think
it just does.
Chief Fitch says, you know, he's talked about this before. He says awful but lawful. And I texted him earlier. He couldn't come on this afternoon. This is former St. Louis County Police Chief Tim Fitch. He goes, I watched it multiple times with another retired officer. She clearly drove toward the officer in front of her vehicle and he fired. From his perspective, he would articulate he thought she was going to run him down. But her vehicle ended up veering around him to his left as he moved out of the way to his right. Either way, it's going to be a blank show up there. And I think that kind of sums it up. So we're going to talk about it on Friday. We'll have a little announcement, as you know, as well. So I'll see you Friday afternoon.
You got
it. All right. Take care, Jake.
Get more at 971talk.com.